The group of pugs were getting ready to disband. Demoralized after wiping to difficult trash paths, they gave up hope that a competent tank would ever arrive. As they were about to disband, a shimmer of hope materialized before them. A mighty torn warrior, decked out in the latest tier, summoned from the queue as if to answer their prayers. He surveyed the party and immediately took leadership unlike they had never seen before. Alright, listen up. CC your targets, do not let them break. Rogue, Zap X. Hunter, Trap Square. Mage, Cheap Moon. Pulling. The Dark Horse of World of Warcraft Podcasting. This is Cheap Moon.
Good morning, Azeroth! It's 10 a.m. Time for Sheep Moon! Hey, DTD, here on Wednesday, January 30th, 2013. Got a fun show today. I promise less rage-inducing. I hope, maybe, we'll see. It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun. Got some stuff to talk about. A little news to go over. I got some announcements about the show to go over today. And we're also going to discuss ways they can fix the rep grind to make it not so boring. Maybe a little bit more fun and engaging. Some ideas that I've come up with at work. Sitting there being bored. So, yeah. That's on the plate for today. Hopefully not as long of a show as it was last week, because, man, that rage just lasted forever. But I don't apologize, because letting out your anger in a helpful and healthy way is good for you. It helps you live longer, so I've been told. So instead of punching helpless babies in the face, I yell on the internet. And it seems to work so far. No babies have died in the making of this show. But we're going to get into it right now.
Have you checked your email this morning, Mulder?
No, why?
Because I received something unsettling and I wondered if you've gotten it too.
Yes, time for the emails and voicemails. Mostly voicemails today. So if you do have any questions or comments you want to send in, make sure you email sheepmoonblog@gmail.com. Again, sheepmoonblog@gmail.com, or you can go to sheepmoon.com. And click the little red voicemail button on the right of the screen. So, we do have a voicemail that we are going to play today. Thank you very much for using the new voicemail feature. I actually like it, because I can't stumble over reading people's emails when I don't have to read them. Always beneficial for me. So, here we go. Maybe. Yes.
Hi, D, and fellow listeners of the Cheap Moon podcast. This is SoCal Wow Gal calling in just with a question for you, D. I was wondering why the Cheap Moon podcast is a solo show. I noticed that you don't ever seem to have any guests on, and you always seem to have just yourself on. And I was wondering if you could answer this question for me. And I'm sure the other Cheap Moon podcast listeners would like to know as well. I hope you're having a great day, both in and out of game, and I look forward to hearing your response on the show. Take care. Bye.
So, SoCal Wild Gal, thank you very much for the voicemail. Couple good questions. I like it. First one, why is Sheep Moon a solo show? Well, at the time when I started Sheep Moon, originally it was just going over the blog posts that I was doing daily back then. And I didn't really feel like having somebody else there talking with me about blog posts that I wrote that would be a good format for the show. So that's why it started out as a solo show. Now, obviously, we've gone away from that format because A, people requested that I talk about the news and stuff, and B, I haven't done a blog post in like 3 months. So obviously that format had to go away. But the main reason why I keep it as a solo show is I really like the solo host format. I like to share my unbiased opinions. And by unbiased, I mean my opinions, and I don't have to worry about arguing with somebody about it live. And there's not a whole lot of podcasts out there that have just one host. I can think of, Mana Cooler is a solo host. Realm Maintenance, Something Suggestive are solo hosts. I think there's plenty of roundtable podcasts out there. In fact, I do WoW Uncensored, which is a roundtable podcast with two co-hosts. So I thought it would just be a nice change of pace because above all else, I want Sheep Moon to be an entirely different show than everything out there. And I think so far I've accomplished that. So that's why I keep it as a solo host. As far as not having any guests on, it's not intentional. I actually did have a guest on a while back. Elamari and I had an interview way, like, months ago. So, talking about feral druids. So that was pretty cool. Mostly because I just haven't reached out to find guest hosts. I'm sure I could do it in the future, and I might. But I want to make sure, like, I don't want to bring on a guest just to have a guest on. I want to have a specific reason to bring a guest on. So that's mainly the issue for that. Maybe when I get more time for it, I'll look for it. But other than that, the show will probably stay as is for the majority of the time. And if you want to be a guest on Sheep Moon, let me know, sheepmoonblog@gmail.com. There will probably be arguing, I'm sure. That's really, you know, that's another reason why I don't have a lot of guest hosts. I have a very different view about the game than a lot of people do. And I think that would cause friction upon guests, possibly. So if I find somebody to be a guest on the show, it'd have to be somebody that's roughly the same view, I think. Or doesn't get offended easily would probably be the better explanation for that. So yeah, thanks for the questions. Again, if you have any questions or comments, email sheepmoonblog@gmail.com or go to sheepmoon.com and click the voicemail button. But let's get on to some news, shall we?
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Yes, time for the news. And before we get into WoW news, I want to make a couple of announcements about the show. So first off, Sheep Moon live broadcast will be changing times. Now, I don't know specifically what time it's going to be. I'm going to try to keep it on Wednesdays, I think. But I have to change the time. I can't do it at 10 o'clock in the morning anymore. The reason for that is because I'm finally getting off third shift and be able to sleep like a normal person. It's going to be awesome. Same job, just kind of a promotion sort of thing. So I will be changing hours at work. And when I do that, I will have to change the time of the show, obviously, because I'll be at work at this time, just like everybody else. So I'm thinking Wednesdays, probably, I'm going to say tentatively and not definite, around 5 o'clock, start the pre-show, 5 p.m. Central Time, so that's 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. That's tentative. I haven't fully decided on that yet, and I haven't decided if I'm going to keep it on Wednesdays or if I'm going to change it to a different day. I just haven't decided yet. So I'll keep you guys updated in the know about that when the decision is made. Like I said, I have no idea yet. I just found out about this Monday night, so I really haven't had a whole lot of time to deliberate when would be the best time to do the show. So if you guys have any suggestions, sheepmoonblog@gmail.com or tweet me at DTD the Tank on Twitter. Let me know when would be a good time for you to listen to the show live, because all in all, I want to make sure that I give people the biggest chance to listen to the show and stuff and things. Yes. Second announcement I want to make. It's kind of a, not really an announcement so much, but I have completed recording season one of Quest Text. Tears Fall Glades is all done. So the plan for Quest Text is, since there are instances in Tears Fall Glades, the Scarlet Hall's instances, or the Scarlet Crusade instances there, Scarlet Monastery, wow, Scarlet Monastery instances, jeez! Yes, Scarlet Monastery instances, I'm going to run through those. Basically, what I'm going to do with those is I'm just going to take one of my higher level characters and just run through them, do the quest, kind of look around, and kind of like a bonus episode, so to speak. And then I think I've pretty much decided that the next zone I'm going to be doing for quest text will be Gnomeregan. We're going to do Gnome starting area. I'm thinking Gnome Rogue. Since we just had a spellcaster, I think it's time to do a melee. So that's the next zone, will be Gnomeregan. So I haven't decided what server or anything like that yet, so I'll let you know. If you guys kind of want to keep in the know on what I'm doing, you can always add me to your battle tag, DTD number 1339. And then if you see me on the quest text character, you can just come hi, say hi, troll me, whatever. It'd be fun. Finally, as far as personal announcements go, I did do a little bit of updating to the website. You can go to sheepmoon.com, check it out. I made it a little bit easier to find like emails and the live link for the live stream of the show and the YouTube channel and stuff like that. So go check it out. Maybe someday I'll get a blog post done too. Why not? It could happen. Anything can happen. So with all that done, let's get into some WoW news, shall we? Now, there is a new fishing event in 5.2. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, because it's kind of flown under the radar. This is off of WoWhead. And the new fishing event, players get to summon and defeat a sea monster in different pools across Pandaria. Fish from a higher concentration of pools and meet some visiting anglers. I'm happy that they're making changes to fishing, because fishing is, next to archaeology, probably the most boring ass profession in the game. It's a pain in the ass to level, and there's really no reward except, hey, you got fishing, good job. So I'm happy that they're adding something to it. I wish they'd add more stuff to push me to max out my fishing. Like, if there's no difference if you're not a max fisherman than if you are a max fisherman, except you get a higher chance of fishing for stuff not in pools, which to me isn't that big of a deal, because when you're fishing, most of the time you're going to be fishing in pools. So I just wish they'd do more, but this is a good step in the right direction. Now, there are, so far from the PTR, 7 locations, each which highlight a different type of fish. Now, Woods of the Lost in the Jade Forest is Jade Lungfish. Special pools are called Glowing Jade Lungfish because sprite dragons shoot arcane bolts at them. See, that's kind of cool. Fields of New Zhao in Town Long Steeps, whatevs. Red Belly Mandarin. Special pools are called Crowded Red Belly Mandarin, which makes sense due to the tiny pond they spawn in. Stormstout Brewery in Valley of the Four Winds, or aka Farmville, is Emperor Salmon. Special pools are called Brew Frenzied Emperor Salmon, which makes sense because of their proximity to the brewery. Apparently these fish are drunk. That's kind of funny. Krasari Falls and Krasaring Wilds is special pools called Swarm of Panicked Paddlefish, most likely due to the goblin NPC throwing dynamite at them. That's awesome! That's awesome. Mad Cow Pow and Vale of Eternal Blossoms, a Jewel Danio is the fish. Special pools are called Glimmering Jewel Danio Pools, since Mad Cow Pow, a very blingy Pandaren, periodically makes wishes and throws coins into the pool. It'd be awesome if he's all bedazzled and sparkly in some sort of pink armor, carrying a purse with a chihuahua in it. be awesome. Banan Village Coast and Kunlai Summit for Tiger Gourami. Hasn't been observed yet, so we don't know exactly what that is. And Sri La Village in the Jade Forest. You can read up at Els Anglin. So, these special events. When they're going on, many additional pools spawn in a concentrated area with special themed names that I've just read. In addition, there is one large pool that will summon an engorged sea monster, similar to Lurker. So far, he does not drop any loot, but most likely will in a new PTR build. Now, see, I love... They're basically taking the mechanics of Lurker and in Serpent Shrine Cavern and putting it out in the world. Because in SSC, you had to actually have somebody with fishing fish up the boss, and then you could fight the boss. And it looks like it's the same model as Lurker. So that's pretty cool. I like that. The fishing events may have their timing tweaked on live. They were up for entire days on the EU and Korean PTR servers. They also appeared to despawn and change locations when dailies were reset. So, this is pretty cool. I'm loving these fishing changes. There's also a bunch of new NPCs. Various fishing invasions naturally make the anglers curious. Based on the location, special anglers NPCs will come out to fish. By Crassery Falls, you will find a goblin NPC on a raft throwing dynamite at the fish. In Vale, Mad Cow Pal wears Midsummer's Reveller with Crown of Empowered Fate. That's cool. I like that. So they're blinging these NPCs out. That's pretty cool. And if you want to look at pictures of all this stuff, you can just go to Wowhead. They've got an entire article dedicated to this, but it's pretty cool. They've just got different, like, specially clothed NPCs. Like, they're wearing Rogue tier, Shaman tier. Salty L, who runs L's Extreme Anglin. One of the best... No, not one of the best fishing World of Warcraft site in the entire world. It's a gnome wearing blue overalls and the weather-beaten fishing hat. So it's really cool that they're acknowledging and still acknowledging people, more well-known players in the WoW community, and giving them NPCs in-game and immortalizing them forever. That's awesome. I love that Blizzard does that. They acknowledge that, hey, some people in our community are pretty cool, and we like them too, so let's give them NPCs. So, that's awesome. I wonder if I ever got an NPC in WoW, what it would be. It'd probably be some torn warrior standing around somewhere yelling at people and telling them they're bad. I'd take that. That'd be awesome. So, yes, that is on Wowhead if you want to check that out. Now, Wowhead and MMO Champion and everybody in the world is posting videos on the new bosses in Throne of Thunder. And I have to say, I wasn't really excited for the instance when they first data mined like the areas and stuff, but after watching these fights, they look really fun. So I'm getting excited for 5.2. I know I was kind of humdrum earlier, but now it actually looks really good. And I'm happy with it. I'm happy with what they're doing. So, as long as they don't nerf it to the ground, and I know they're going to nerf 5.0 in the ground. I already know that. And I'm upset about it, but, you know, it's just kind of par for the course anymore. They nerf everything. I don't agree with it, but whatever. But as long as they don't nerf these new bosses too much, I think I'll be content. I'll be playing for a while longer. Not that I was going to quit. Let's not confuse that. I'm just not going to be as angry about it, we'll say. But as soon as they nerf one of them bosses, you can guarantee that I will flip my lid on that. So, next news item is the 5.2 crafted vanity items, Lightning Forge weapons, and a new engineering pet. For all you pet collectors out there, I myself am not an extreme pet collector, but this pet looks cool. Pierre has a really cool model. It's like a little mini stove with spatulas and pans for arms. I might actually have to go for that. Got a lot of really cool animations. And he comes from engineering. So engineering is finally getting some love. which is cool. I think engineering is probably the most unique and fun profession in the entire game. It has so much potential, and they just haven't done anything with it. And now it looks like they're doing that. You can create an advanced refrigeration unit, which is a 32-slot cooking bag. That's pretty cool. You can craft Pierre, which is the little stove dude. And you can craft what's called a Sky Claw. And it's a mount. A new two-seater mount. That's kind of cool. It seems like just about every profession now has a way to craft a mount. See, engineering, you have Skyclaw and Mechanohog. Jewel Crafters has the Voltron Lions. Tailoring has the Flying Carpets. I wonder if they're going to give scribes and blacksmiths, even though it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, I wonder if they're going to give them some sort of mount or some sort of toy to make. That'd be kind of cool. But I am completely content with crafting the best weapons and armor, you know, that you can get easily. I'm okay with that. Scribes, yeah, they could use some love. They're kind of boring. Speaking of blacksmithing, let's talk a little bit about the Lightning Forged weapons, shall we? If you always wanted to craft iconic blacksmithing weapons like Storm Herald or Drake Fist Hammer, but didn't learn the plans prior to Cataclysm, looks like you're going to be able to create replica weapons in patch 5.2. Awesome! I actually spent a lot of time trying to get all of the old blacksmithing recipes before Cata launched. There's a lot of them I missed, so I'm happy that this change is going into effect. These BOP weapons were only craftable by weaponsmiths when specializations were removed in Cataclysm, which is partially the reason why I couldn't craft a lot of them, because I was an armorsmith. I was a tank. I wanted good armor. I didn't care about weapons. And, of course, they took all the specializations out for blacksmithing, which I really think they need to put back in, because those were fun. I liked having those. And blacksmithing, they had two-handed swords that you could upgrade. A great idea. Of course, they took all that out, so yeah. From the 5.2 patch notes, as the heroes conquer the Isle, they will unlock the powerful Lightning Forge, which will allow blacksmiths to forge mighty raid-worthy items, as well as classic weapons from the past. I wonder what items we're going to be able to craft. I mean, what item level these things are going to be. Are they going to be equivalent to 5.2 raids? Are they going to be equivalent to 5.0 raids? Or somewhere in the middle? I don't know. We'll have to see. But if you go to Wowhead and click on the story link, you will find all the cool models of stuff you can craft. And I'm pretty freaking excited about it. It's going to be awesome. There's a lot of really cool models here for Transmob and stuff. So, yeah. It's going to be awesome, I think. It's going to be really awesome. Now, next piece of news. I had it here. Oh, yes, in 5.2 there will be no new Shaw Touch weapons. So, if you don't have one, and you have a legendary gem just sitting in your bag not doing any good, if you don't get one from 5.0, you're not going to get one. So, it makes it kind of debatable why, to me anyway, why the first part of the legendary quest is going to be outdated. Essentially, when you get a new weapon out of 5.2. That legendary gem that you busted your ass for this entire patch, or this entire section of the expansion, we should say, this entire tier, that's better, is going to be useless here pretty soon. That kind of makes me sad. I mean, I know I need to do it anyway just to be able to get my legendary at the end of the expansion, but, I mean, I wish that a gem like that, first of all, I wish I had a tank one. I'm kind of upset that there isn't a tank one. But even if I had a 500 strength gem for my DPS set, I wish it would last longer than one tier. It's kind of sad. Now, there is a giant blue post about 5.2 raid gear item levels. This is, of course, right up my alley. We think it's worth noting that many players began their Mists of Pandaria raiding experience with an average item level in the low 460s. Which is true, because you get 463 from Heroics and 458s from Justice Point. So yeah, that's accurate. Over the course of the past 4 months, Heroic Raiders have seen their average item level climb by as much as 50, while Normal Mode raid groups that are just getting to Shaw of Fear for the first time likely have an item level that compares to what the Cutting Edge guilds had when conquering Heroic Heart of Fear. Getting raid loot along the way has likely felt like a meaningful progression, and the overall damage and healing output of a raid group grows measurably from week to week with each piece of gear looted from a defeated boss. We like that. We want Throne of Thunder to give players a similar sense of progression. We could have taken an alternative, more conservative approach, where Throne of Thunder Raid Finder awarded item level 496 items and Normal awarded 509 items. A guild that has only done the current Normal Mode raids but no Heroics will then walk into the Throne of Thunder with an average item level of around 500, lots of 496 items from Heart of Fear and Terrace, some of them upgraded to 504 with Valor. That doesn't leave much room to grow. It means that players would only be a few percent stronger when facing Lei Shen at the end of the instance than they were facing Jinrock, that sounds better, at the start. It also means that when raiders run into a roadblock halfway through the raid, there wouldn't be much hope that a bit more gear from the next clear would have a significant impact. I agree that they need to make it so the gear that you pick up in the new raid when you're stuck on a boss will give you an advantage to defeat that boss. So it needs to be higher than 509, because that's essentially Heroic raid gear right now. So it needs to get a little bit higher. I agree with that. Ultimately, we think that raid progression works better and is more compelling when there are meaningful increases in power from gear. The effort of drowning a boss for the... Drowning? Yeah, let's shove his head under the water. Drown. It'd be cool to kill a boss, wouldn't it? Downing a boss for the first time is properly rewarded with loot that is attractive to all members of the raid, and the steady increase in player power over the course of progressing through an instance allows us to scale the challenge accordingly. For example, we can now design Lei Shen around the expectation that the average raid group that reaches him will have an item level of nearly 520. The cutting edge groups that tear through the zone in the first week or two will be comparatively undergeared when they reach him. Without any other changes on our end, item progression means that the same encounter can pose a stern test to a top guild when 5.2 comes out, while still being doable by the groups that only reach the same encounter a couple months down the line. For example, Heroic Garajal was a brutal test of DPS for raiders who faced him last October, but now he feels like a part of a smooth progression for groups that are just graduating from normal modes and beginning heroics. Let's just not talk about the fact that you nerfed him by 5%. We'll just ignore that for now. We're confident that our planned item levels are not going to skew class balance or degenerate gameplay, and we're monitoring the performance of all classes and specs in the new gear that will be available in 5.2. And going forward, stat inflation was probably the most out of control during Wrath of the Lich King. But that was an issue with how powerful the gear was that was available as the expansion began, perhaps more than any other factor. As a point of comparison, the item level 213 Warrior Set Breastplate that was available in Naxxramas gave a level 80 player 2% critical strike chance. The item level 496 set breastplate available in Heart of Fear gives 1.32 crit chance. We've learned from the past and carefully left ourselves a lot more room to grow this time around. Which is good, because Sunwell and ICC had to give out debuffs to the tanks because their avoidance was too high. So thank God they've learned their lesson. I'm happy with that. So what we can take from this is Blizzard is planning out their gear a bit better. Now, obviously, it comes as a problem to me because of these next 2 points that are on this post here. This really can't believe Blizz still forced raiders into LFR to stay competitive. We don't like it. That's a post from some player on the forums. Their response is, it's our expectation that Heroic Raiders should have no interest in 5.2 Raid Finder gear. If you have item level 509 plus gear from 5.0, 5.1 Heroics, then the question is, why would you want the item level 502 gear from the Raid Finder? Players wearing normal mode gear might find some slight upgrades in the Raid Finder in the first few weeks, but it's a safe bet that any gear that was upgraded with Valor Points would probably be anything found in the Throne of Thunder Raid Finder. I don't agree with this, and this is why. They fail to realize that the reason heroic raiders go after tier gear and LFR is because the set bonuses are game breakers in a lot of circumstances. For example, in Our Twilight and Dragon Soul, the four-piece bonuses for tanks was so overpowering that every heroic raider went into LFR to get those four-piece bonuses because it changed strategies of entire fights. Yeah, the item level was worse and the gear wasn't as good, but it's those set bonuses that makes them desirable. And that's what they don't seem to understand. Yeah, heroic raiders probably aren't going to want anything else besides tier out of LFR, but they're still going to go in and do it. Because if you've looked at some of the set bonuses for these classes, they're really good. They're really good. But it's going to be a slight upgrade for normal raiders. And most raid leaders are going to want you to try to get every ounce of... to better yourself every ounce you can. So my raid leader is probably going to want me to go run LFR, which I really don't want to do. But I'm going to do it because it's going to help the guild. When the LFR gear is better than the gear I've gotten out of normal modes from the previous tier, that's what I have a problem with. It should be the same item level. Because you're still going to want it because of the better set bonuses. Now, quite frankly, if they made LFR its own progression, we wouldn't be having this problem. It wouldn't even be an issue at all. But, of course, they're never going to do that. I wish they would. But they won't. So... yes. That's all for that post. It's a lot of balance stuff and all that. We're not really going to go over that. Do have one final thing that I want to talk about. The one thing that came out right after my show was over last week. They did that on purpose, I think. They didn't want to hear my opinion about Thunderforged. They are scared of me. But now I can talk about it a week after every show on the entire planet's already done so. So, if you haven't listened to anything in the past week, or just not been on the internet at all the past week, there's going to be new Thunderforge items in the new raid. Coming to the PTR in the near future will be a new designation of item type in normal and heroic raids for non-tier pieces. Each 5.2 raid boss will have a chance of dropping this new designation of a particular item that's 6 item levels higher than their counterparts. These higher quality versions will be called Thunderforged. And I don't know, but every time I say that, I think of the AC/DC song, Thunderstruck. Does anybody else? Am I the only person in the world that thinks of that? Anyway. This means that there will be 5 variations of some items. Now you will see a 5.2 raid item of LFR at item level 502, the same item in normal quality at item level 522, the normal Thunderforge quality at 528, the heroic version of the item at 535, and the heroic Thunderforge version at 541. This new item designation is being added for a couple reasons, but first and foremost to make loot drops more interesting overall, especially after you have earlier bosses in Throne of Thunder on farm. As you're working on progression, those first few bosses can now continue to provide a chance at upgrades, making repeated kills potentially more exciting and rewarding. Those additional upgrades can then help to slowly raise power and boost you over whatever progression roadblock you may hit. I like that. Let's go ahead and say that I like that change, because doing farm content when you don't need any of the gear is honestly a waste of time. Like right now, we're still doing Mogoshan vaults, although we have the whole thing on farm. We one-shot every boss in there. We can clear Mogoshan vaults in like an hour and a half. We still go in there because there's a couple pieces that people just need. Like, for example, last night, I finally got a weapon off Elegon. It was the one-handed DPS, but I'll freaking take it. Hidden expertise? Aw, yeah. I finally got rid of my last blue item, so... yay. But Mogoshan Vaults is just so boring. We really don't want to do it anymore. But we do because people still need to get out of there. Now, if there was Thunderforge stuff in Mogoshan Vaults, then we'd be more excited to do it. Because that's just a slight chance of getting us a couple upgrades that we need to potentially down Grand Empress Shexier or whatever the frick her name is. I don't remember. So, I like that change. It makes, especially since this is basically a linear dungeon, you know, you're going to have to kill all those bosses every week anyway. So why not have a little oomph with it? I'm okay with that change. Now this next part. We've also received a lot of feedback regarding 25-player raids, and I have been looking for ways to address some concerns. Ever since we changed 10-player raids to drop the same item level as 25s, we've seen a steady decline in 25-player raiding. This isn't surprising. A 25-player raid takes an extra level of logistical commitment for the officers of those groups. It's unfortunately easy for a 25-player guild to collapse down into a 10-player guild, but very unlikely for the opposite to happen. However, we like 25-player raiding and don't want to see it go away. Like many players, we love the epic feeling that comes with banding together more massive groups to battle powerful foes. We love that there's opportunity for those groups to try out new players of unusual comps without causing a huge burden. And we want to support the larger raiding guilds. That said, we're also concerned that over-rewarding the 25-player guilds, if, for example, we went back to a higher item level across the board for 25s, as was the case for Ice Crown Citadel, or Korea right now, we would feel like a slap in the face to the many 10-player raiders out there, who are the majority of our normal heroic raiders. To attempt to navigate this minefield, we're going to try having Thunderforge items drop more frequently in 25-player raids. They'll be somewhat rare in both cases compared to the standard versions that'll drop, but it'll be even rarer in 10s. Overall, a 25-player group will be more likely to end up with a slightly higher item level after several weeks of raiding. Let's stop here. They just said that they didn't want to give people... They didn't want to force people to run 25s because of higher item level. Yet, with increased Thunderforge drops in 25-man raiding, they just literally said a 25-player group will more likely end up with a higher item level after several weeks of raiding. So they said they didn't want to do it, but they did it anyway. How does that make any sense? I'm going to go ahead and say this right now. Blizzard will never... ever come up with an idea to keep item levels the same in 10 and 25 man and have 25 man a more viable option. Never. You can drop more loot, you can have a higher chance to drop Thunderforge loot, but it's not going to make 10 man guilds go run 25s. The only way that they're going to incentivize 25 man raiding again is to A, separate the lockouts again, like they had back in Wrath of the Lich King, or B, just give up and give 25 players higher item levels. That's the only way they can do it. It doesn't matter what other fringe benefits they put into 25-man raiding. No 10-man guild is going to try to recruit for 25-man unless 25-mans are better. That's all there is to it. This is a poor attempt at incentivizing 25-man raids. Now, if they did this and separated the lockouts, yeah, that would probably do it. Yeah, you're going to be raiding twice as much if you're a super progressed guild, but that's the only way they're going to save 25-man raiding. That is not enough of an incentive for a guild like mine who runs strictly 10-man to try to start up a 25-man group. Just not. I just don't think that Blizzard wants to admit defeat. I just love how in the same paragraph in this post, they've contradicted themselves. They're so funny. God, hilarious. It's important to keep in mind that this only affects 10 and 25 player normal and heroic raids, and tier 15 armor pieces won't be available in Thunderforge quality at all. We're curious to hear your thoughts about these changes and what you think once you begin seeing them on the PTR. I like that they're trying to incentivize heroic boss, you know, rerunning farm content, but other than that, it's a horrible idea.
It's bad.
If they want to incentivize 25-man raiding, this is not the way to do it. But I agree with the change overall. it's their reasoning behind the change that's bad. Seriously, just do what you did in Korea. See, this is where they went wrong in ICC, right? They had two sets of gear. Excuse me. There was entirely different items that dropped in 10-man and 25-man. Like, for example, there was a trinket. And I can't remember what it was called. But there was a trinket that dropped off of Death Guard Sarfang. That was like the best in slot for every single melee character. It only dropped in 25-man. It never dropped in 10-man. So, what you do is you make the loot tables the same, but give 25 mana, like, you know, give them like 5 item levels, and then Thunderforge on top of that if it drops. That's an incentive to run 25 man. It's not so overbearing that 10 man players are going to be, you know, left behind if they don't do 25 man. They'll still be pretty damn good if they have all 10 man gear. But the same player in 25 man gear is going to be slightly better. That's the only way it's going to work. And if they kept the loot tables the same, it wouldn't be so bad, I don't think. I think that worked great. Or just separate the lockouts. If I'm going to go run 10 man and clear it, and then go to 25 man and clear that, then I should be able to do that if I've got that kind of time. Which I don't. But you're going to have to incentivize 25 man a bit more than a higher chance at a random drop if you want to make them viable. And that's the way to do it. Just don't change the loot tables this time. Keep them the same. Give them a higher item level, and there you go. It's fixed. Get on it, Blizzard. Well, that's all from the news today. If you have any news items you'd like me to comment on, or something I may have missed that you think is interesting, let me know, sheepmoonblog@gmail.com. Just send me a link. I'll go read it half hour before the show when I do everything else. But now, I think it's time for a bit more musical roulette. We had some interesting roulette this morning. We got some in the mix of rock. We got some Janet Jackson. We got some weird stuff. But that's the beauty of musical roulette, is we get funky stuff like that. So I'm going to play something. I don't even know. I'm really surprised we haven't come up across any rap yet in musical roulette. Watch, this is going to be all rap. That's my luck. Anyway, stay right there. I'll be right back. Enjoy. Ha! No music for you, podcast listener! Unless you tune in live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. only on twitch.tv/sheepmoon. Tune in live. Or forever be damned to hear this message. Yes, that was the epic, epic, epic Dragon Force with Operation Ground and Pound. I love Dragon Force. I don't know about you, but Dragon Force is awesome. Especially with Guitar Hero. Oh man, that's a good time. And freaking hard too, holy crap. Man. Anyway, I mentioned earlier in the show that I have some ideas on how to fix the rep grind. Now they're making a lot of advances in 5.2 as far as rep grinding. You know, now we can get rep from doing our first dungeon or scenario of the day, which I don't think is logical, but whatever. And we got the Sun Song Ranch work orders that we can do, which is actually pretty cool. I like that idea. But especially when there's multiple reps to grind at the same time, I think that there is a better way by incorporating some of the things that they're implementing in 5.2 that can make the overall rep grind a lot better. Now first let's go into how we're grinding a rep right now. And of course everybody knows this. You do dailies. endless amounts of dailies.
Ugh.
There's only one rep in the game right now that I think has actually done this approach very, very well. And that's the dominant defensive slash Operation Shield Wall stuff. I finally got exalted with them today, this morning, as a matter of fact. And the reason I was able to get exalted with the dominance offensive, because I am Horde, the correct faction to play, and that is the extra quests that you get periodically while you're doing your dailies. Like, I found myself going to do my dailies just to see if I got an extra quest for that storyline. Which is awesome, by the way. Very good job, Blizzard. That was epic. The ending to Dominance Offensive is pretty cool. And I highly suggest everybody go and do it if you have characters that can do that. The rewards are pretty good. You get a couple cool mounts. It's worth it. But the reason I actually did the Dominance Offensive is, A, the chance of world PvP, which I don't get a whole lot of chances on a PvE realm. And the extra story bits. So I think that if they add, like with these 5.2 factions, if they're going to do the daily quest grind like they have with everything else, they need to do that. They need to add extra quests you can do to advance the story. But one thing they failed on is having every faction do the exact same thing to grind their rep. Now, what I propose is that they change it up daily or weekly or whatever. Let's say you have let's just use the reps we have right now. Okay, we have Klaxi, Golden Lotus, August Celestials, Cloud Serpents, Anglers. I think that's it. Tillers, but they're kind of different. So let's just take five, right? Let's say, okay, to gain Klaxi rep, you gotta do dailies today. But if you want to gain Golden Lotus rep, let's say you have to go grind out a certain item to turn in instead of doing dailies. For Shadow Pan, let's say you had to go run a dungeon. You had to do something in dungeons for that day. Let's say for August Celestials, you have to go do something else. Just make each reputation do something different every day. And then, whether it be daily or weekly, you change it up. Now, instead of doing dailies for Klaxi, you have to go grind Dread Amber Shards to gain rep with them for that day. Shadowpan, well, now you go do the dailies for Shadowpan. And just keep rotating it. I think that'd be really cool. The main reason why I don't think they should give rep for just doing dungeons with no logical reason is because it doesn't make any sense. Like, getting this first reputation gain a day doesn't make any sense to me from a storyline perspective. I've touched on this in the past. Why would the Klaxi care if I go run Temple of the Jade Serpent? They don't care. There's nothing in there for them. So, but if the Klaxi gave you a reason to go do Jade Serpent, that would make more sense to me. Like, let's say you had to go to Klaxi Vest, and they give you a quest, say, we need something off of the Shaw in there. They have something that we need. You go, everything you kill in the dungeon for that run gives you rep with the Klaxi. And then you get an item that drops off the last boss. You go turn it in and boom, rep. Make it multiple quests you can go do. Like, let's say, for example, you finished your Jade Serpent quest and the Klaxi are thirsty. They want some beer from Stormstop Brewery. So you go do that. That doesn't make any sense. But, you know, it's the concept that I'm more worried about. Give us a reason to get rep from these dailies if you're going to go that way. Not just, hey, the first dungeon you run, whatever dungeon it happens to be, you're going to get rep for it for no reason whatsoever. Now, if you do the dailies, like I mentioned, you need to add something extra in there to advance the story. Dominance Offensive, again, is a perfect example of this. Do dailies like that. Let's say the Shadow Pan are low on weapons, so you have to go kill the Klaxi in that little island out there, get their weapons, and bring them back. Every turn in gives you rep. There are other ways they could do it too. If they wanted to add a PvP objective to a certain rep, that'd be cool too. let's say for the August Celestials, the Alliance have been messing stuff up, and you have to go do Battlegrounds and kill Alliance to get rep for that day. Of course, a lot of players wouldn't like that very much, but it gives PvPers a reason to go gain rep too. Because right now, PvPers don't really have any reason to go gain any rep. So give them a reason to go get rep. Add a PvP objective to the reps. That'd be cool. For the Cloud Serpents, hey, the dragons are hungry. Go get frogs. Feed the dragons. That'd be cool. Let's say there's an event that happens that if you help them defend or whatever. Let's say, for example, the Golden Lotus are getting attacked by the Mogu in Vale of Eternal Blossoms. You have to go help defend the invasion, and you gain rep for doing that. I think that would be a lot better, because you're varying the playstyle, but still getting the same rewards. Like, I don't want to go do dailies, 50-plus dailies, every single day. That gets boring and monotonous, which is something that WoW has a problem with inherently. So why not vary it up a little bit? They have the technology in the game to randomize things. I mean, we get random dailies every day. But why can't they take that a step further and just give us completely different objectives to work for each day, and then have a certain amount of rep you can gain per day for that faction? Let's say, for example, if you get, 2,500 rep from doing dailies, then you can turn up to... You can do up to 2,500 rep for everybody else. That way it wouldn't be imbalanced. Another objective you could do is how Cloud Serpents have the eggs that you can go farm. Okay, on this day, Shadow Pan, you have to go and find these items that they need, and you can grind them up. But I think rotating the way we gain rep will help a lot. Now, it's not going to... It could work if there is just one rep to gain. For example, whatever the new 5.2 ones are that are terribly named, and I refuse to mention them because, God, those names are bad. But you can still do that with those. Or do multiples. If there is a tier of rep, let's say... Do all those at once. Hey, go do these quests, and while you're doing these quests, pick up these items that you can turn in for repeatable weapon rep, and hey, there's these hidden things that you can find to turn in, and hey, we need something out of Shadowpan Monastery, go run that. Just put a cap on rep per day. Because that's also going to monitor or regulate how fast we unlock stuff, too. And they can monitor and normalize people grinding their reps so they don't unlock something that they're not ready to unlock yet. I think it's a good system. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to do the same thing 6 different times every day. I'll do it if I have to. But I don't have to. Blizzard, if you don't listen to me on anything else, please listen to this. Change the rep grind. I think this is a great idea. I think a lot of players would enjoy it. Because there's something for everybody there. If you like doing dailies, well, you can go do dailies for these guys. If you like just going out and grinding items for turn-ins, you can go do that. If you want to go do dungeons, you can go do that. Depending on what rep is there. I like it. Tell me what you think. Cheatmoonblog@gmail.com. Again, sheepmoonblog@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail. On the topic. Because regardless of my attitude toward most of the game, and I get a lot of comments like, "You must really hate the game." No, I really don't. I love the game, or else I wouldn't be playing it. I just want to make it better. I don't want WoW to go away. I don't want Blizzard to ruin WoW, which, in my opinion, they're really good at doing. I want them to give me a reason to do all this stuff they want me to do. And being bored is not a good reason to go do all this stuff. Mix it up a little bit. Anyway, that's all my thoughts. on how to change the rep. We can go more into it. We can go a lot more into it, honestly. But that's the basis of my thought. And I'd like to hear what you think. I love hearing from my listeners. Again, sheepmoonblog@gmail.com. Let me know, what would you fix? What would you do to fix the rep grind? But that's the show for today. Give me comments or questions. Again, sheepmoonblog@gmail.com. Let me know what you think. Next week, we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about, I am sure. Make sure you turn into Realm Maintenance next week. Ro is interviewing me. And I'm sure that will be awesome and full of win. So make sure you go check that out next week. Actually, you should just check it out every week. It's a good show. I'd love to get a blog post done, but honestly, it's probably not going to happen. But you can check out sheepmoon.com anyway, because there are some good blogs on there. They may be a bit dated now, but they're good. You can go read them up. Don't forget, Quest Text is posted every day on my channel, youtube.com/climbside. There are links on sheepmoon.com. Just about done. I think we're about halfway done of what's uploaded right now. And in fact, 9 minutes ago, a new episode was uploaded, so go check that out. Halfway done with Tears Fall Glades. Like I said earlier, Tears Fall Glades is done recording. After Tears Fall Glades, we'll get the Scarlet Monastery instances, and then we're going to Gnomeregon. A pink-haired rogue sounds fun. I'm gonna make a chick. I don't make many chicks. Actually, I make more chicks than I like to admit. But it's gonna be fun, so definitely go check that out. We'll be back next week at the same time. Like I said, the show is changing times. I'm not exactly sure when it will. Follow me on Twitter at DTDTank or at Kalemsai. And I'll keep you updated on that. Ro asked me earlier during the pre-show why I don't make like a dedicated Sheep Moon Twitter. And the DTDTank one is pretty much the official Sheep Moon Twitter. I might change that to Sheep Moon. We'll see. So I'll let you know on that too. Anyway, you guys have been great. I love all you guys. Hope to see you in game. DTD number 1339. Add me to your battle tag. Roll up a character on Vec. Join the guild. It's fun. Lots of fun. Anyway, that's me. I'm done. We'll see you next week. Don't break the sheep.